Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, welcome back to another episode. Yes, Matt and I are on our season break, so that's why you're not getting any Sunday episodes. But obviously, Liverpool Cross Country, probably our favourite race of the year, Matt, potentially. I think it's mine. It might be your second favourite after the National. But yeah, I think obviously deserves its own episode. So this bonus ep coming in for you. We have been causing a stir, or should I say Matt's been causing a stir on Instagram after posting his predictions ahead of time. Just for any avoidance of doubt, I just want to confirm that they were not mine at all. And I think he's talking absolute rubbish for most of them, to be honest. But we'll get into those and he'll explain his reasons why. So anyone who's been commenting, make sure you carry on listening because Matt will have some words for you about why he's decided what he's decided.
Yeah, I do feel like this is going to be a bit of a defense podcast for me on my team selection. Well, I say team. I've just gone for top five. Obviously, we know Liverpool under 23s and seniors all in one race. For the sake of this podcast, we probably will talk under 23s a little bit, but we won't separate too much because I just feel like the under 23s are at a level, especially on the men's side, where I think actually a lot of them will feature in the senior race. And kind of flashbacks to, well, Hawkins and Burchard under 23s when they won. Richard Goodman and Johnny Hay winning Liverpool before us under 23s. So I feel like if you're good enough to get a senior top five, and we had this argument last year, should people like Charles Hicks, who won the NCAA Cross, would it have been nice to see him do the seniors at Eurocross? And I personally think he should have. I know there's all sorts of reasons why they don't, but you know, he might not get another chance to win that senior race, compete in that senior race, let's say, to a high level. And you just never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, that's, I'm sure someone like Hicks will, to be fair, but you get the gist. Where should we start? On that men's race, are we both agreeing on Zach Mohammed? I feel like he's shown great form this year already. And he looks unstoppable on the cross, to be honest. And I think Liverpool's such a tough one because you can go on people's halves, you can go on people's track seasons. But as we know, Liverpool always brings up results. And I think there will be someone that we don't even mention today who could potentially feature. I mean, Tomar last year, Batchel snuck in before. And I think that was a few years ago before he was the runner he is today as well. So there's always someone who kind of sneaks in that team that we don't mention.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if I'm necessarily set on Zach Mohammed. I think he goes in as the favourite. But I think I don't think we can discount Jack Rowe, someone who's kind of shown his consistency over a variety of distances, but particularly in making that team for the past 3 years now, and obviously winning it a couple of years ago. So I think I haven't quite decided on my men's one. My women's one, I think I'm pretty certain with who I'm going to go for. But my men's, I'm sort of doing it as we go through. And I think Jack Rowe for me, Pip Zach Mohammed.
Wow. Fair play. I think that's a sensible decision. He has done a Hampshire League, won that. But coming off of his halves, I think he's in great shape. We know he can perform on the kind of on a muddy Liverpool and a fast Liverpool like he has done the previous 2 years.
That's what I mean. I think Jack Rowe, like, he knows the course well. He's run well on the course. Like, he's got to be brimming with confidence in terms of, like, I don't think Jack Rowe is someone that, like, the athlete is now. I don't think he goes into that race concerned about making the team. And I think an athlete not concerned with making the team is then in a good position to win the race because they're not so focused on that and they can actually target winning the race, you know? Whereas someone who comes in with a bit more, like, Taylor Wheeler twins, for example, had fantastic runs at Cardiff. there's no way they win the race because they're not going to race it to try and win, you know?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Obviously, I'm not saying Zach Mohammed couldn't win, but I think it'll be a great battle between those two. I think Jack Roche, just experience it on that course, like senior level, will come out on top.
And for those asking about Emil Kares, I think we haven't got authority that he's not doing Liverpool. So he was set to line up for Valencia, which is what, the weekend after? But I think, I don't think he'll line up for that now. I think just he's healthy, apparently, but I just think he's going to prepare for the spring and making sure that he's 100% for kind of Paris next year. So won't see Emil, I don't think, this side of Christmas. So hence why I kind of went with Zach Mohammed. And Mohammed, we know, is going to line up for Valencia that weekend after as well, which is going to be a very, very interesting debut, one that we may well cover on the podcast, because that'll be kind of, that'll merge with a Eurocross preview as well. So I've gone Zach Mohammed to win. You've gone Jack Rowe. I've gone Jack Rowe to get second. And then, which I presume you've probably gone Zach Mohammed to get second.
Yeah, I'll go Zach Mohammed for second.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go someone who I think is going to make the top three. He's certainly going to be in the top five of the senior race and the under 23 race, is Will Barnico, man. The guy's been on fire. I think there's question marks over, can he do it over 10K? A lot of his races, he seems to run well at our shorter distance. Yeah, he dominated the under 20 scene for so long. But I think seeing him run a Mansfield, like, there's no way that guy can't place top five in the whole race.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I think I agree with you. I think Barnico is an extremely exciting athlete. I think we're going to see like the best of him like in the next sort of like 5 years for sure. I think for me, too soon, and I think potentially a bit disrespectful to some of those senior athletes out there. Like, this is 10K cross country. It's not Mansfield. It's twice the distance, mate. Liverpool
three times
is
the distance.
Is a, what's that, sorry?
Almost three times. I think Mansfield was like 2.5 miles this
year.
Well,
yeah, quite.
Shortened it a little bit.
And I just think Liverpool's a bit of a distance, different beast, mate. Like, I know you have got him in there as well. I'm going to go Mark Scott for third for me. I think he wasn't at his best at Cardiff. I don't think he expected to be at his best either. I think his run at Great South was brilliant, considering from what I've heard about the type of training he's been doing. And I think at that stage in your fitness, when you are that caliber of an athlete, in 2 weeks, which has been, I think he'd have come on leaps and bounds. I think he did what he needed to do at Cardiff Cross. I think Mark Scott will be up and raring to go. And I think we had this chat off air as well. Like, I'm not being funny. I know, well, if it was me anyway, if I can like imagine being Mark Scott, there's no way I'm jogging around that course thinking, yeah, I'll just let this guy drop me. Obviously fitness comes into it, but I think, look, this guy, Mark Scott's a different kettle of fish to some of these athletes. I think, not being disrespectful to them, but he's head and shoulders above them in terms of his caliber as a distance runner. I think, yeah, Zach Mohammed and Jack Rowe, just because of the stage they're at compared to him, get away from him, but I don't think he lets anyone else beat him on the day at Liverpool.
I think the fact he did Cardiff as well will actually bode well for Liverpool. I think it's probably the bit of a wake-up call that he needed.
Yeah.
I actually remember he did, I think, the Surrey League last year against Crowright, and, you know, kind of pulled away from him in the latter stages, but, you know, didn't set the world alight.
Yeah.
And, you know, he obviously didn't set the world alight at Cardiff, but I feel like, yeah, he's too experienced, and 2 weeks is a long time for an athlete like him to get a bit fitter, given that, you know, when he's in peak shape, he's off the charts. It will be interesting. I do feel like this will be a bit of not a make or break run for him. We know he's going to do Seville Marathon in the turn of the new year. But, you know, if he doesn't make this team the last 18 months to 2 years, you know, he has dropped off a bit of a cliff, in my opinion.
Because... Yeah, you got to start asking some questions about like your approach to training and things like that, because it's all very well saying, well, I haven't been able to train consistently, or I haven't put in like the weeks I need to, but that's all well and good. But at that level, that caliber athlete, you then ask yourself, well, why is that not happening? Mm-hmm. I had Josh Kerr on the podcast recently, and he's said, and I think he's think maybe he said it quite off the cuff, but I think in sentiment, he's right. He kind of said, look, illness and injury is most of the time kind of a repercussion of bad preparation. When you are an athlete who is able to be full-time and has all the support in the world available to them, I don't think injuries are as sort of like a result of luck as we see kind of lower down, even when you're talking like people who are coming fifth and sixth at Liverpool, like that caliber of athlete. Like when you're someone with, look, Mark Scott's in and running team, mate, like you're not telling me he doesn't have support available to him to ensure these things don't happen.
Yeah, and BA funding and all that as well. But I think, yeah, he will, you know, if you can't make that Liverpool team, even given, you know, lack of training, lack of preparation, that's a shock, man, to get to sort of drop that far down domestically. You know, that was a team he could make with his eyes closed, you know, 18 months ago. So, you know, obviously he's coming up for 2 years, or, you know, where are we? Probably about 20 months ago, he ran 12:57 indoors, you know, so... it will be interesting to see how he goes, that's for sure. But we've both got him in our team. I think, like you said, he's not going to let people beat him. I think he's a competitor. Not to say the others aren't, but he's just experienced, man. So I think last year he measured himself, like he did just enough to make the team. He didn't choose to go with a mil or anything like that. I think he'll do something similar this year. But also, Zach Mohammed and Jack Rowe are good. I'm not sure they're the class that Emil was last year.
No.
So I think that top group will be a little bit tighter. Emil was clearly off the charts last
year. Yeah, and Emil started just hammering it as well. And I don't think they're going to do that to the same extent. And even the same way, like, yeah, you could argue that Zach Mohammed's someone who likes to do that. But in Cardiff, he was forced to do that by some kind of non-British athletes.
Yeah.
Whereas he won't be forced to do that at Liverpool. So I think he'll be happy to sit in for a while as well. I could see maybe my 4th or 5th picks actually being the ones who sort of make things happen a bit, which I'd love to see as well. But we'll get into that.
Mm. I think if it's muddy, Mohammed wins without a shadow of doubt. But one man who may feature if it's muddy and is actually rising to form quite nicely. I kind of looked at the previous results he's had this winter. He seems to be sneaking under the radar a little bit. He ran well at Mansfield. He was on a later leg. I can't remember, 3rd or 4th leg, maybe 3rd leg or something at Mansfield. You know, had a good battle with James Kingston, came out on top there. Callum Johnson, for me, previous national cross winner, very, very good in the mud and seems to be fit as well, seems to be fit and healthy. And you just know that an athlete like that, they're the ones I always look out for, because Liverpool would have been in his diary for a long period of time, you would think. So he would have prepared quite meticulously for it. And I think that, you know, we're mentioning Jack Rowe, Mark Scott, like Liverpool is very much just kind of a bit of a stepping stone in their season. It's not an end goal. Whereas for someone like Johnson, Liverpool and then Euros, you know, would be an end goal. That would probably be the highlight of his calendar year, maybe. And he's probably looking at the World Cross as well and thinking, is that a team I can make? How can I perform at Liverpool and Euros? So I think he is he's a big dark horse for me, hence why I put him in there. I know I'll probably get slated for it. I already have, you know, which I don't mind at all, because I think there's a lot of names. Lama, we'll move on to those wild cards. You know, the likes of, you know, they may well made your team as well. The Wheeler brothers, you know, we got Callum Elson, Angus McMillan, Stonia. To me, there's too many guys like that. And that, you know, Rory Leonard, Scott Beattie, they're all capable of making the team, but when you take out Mohammed, Rowe, probably Mark, then you're only talking, you got, you know, 2 or 3 spots left, and there must be 20 guys who,
yeah,
you know, different people will argue their kind of case to make that team. So,
oh, sure, and that's the hilarious thing. It's always like whoever is you're training with at a time, because you're trying to tell yourself that you're in good shape, because you're like, well, this guy's flying, so. Because he's spanking me, so yeah, he must make the team, and then that's why they get annoyed with you, Matt. But no, it's an interesting one. Yeah, I think, mate, Johnson, not bad shout, mate. I think like, look, they're predictions, aren't they? They're not maybe that's how you maybe that's why people got annoyed. You phrased it wrong, the rankings, because I think if I just ranked,
oh, they are rankings. They are ranked for me. They're cross country rankings, in my opinion. When you
because all cross country is predictions, but you know, but that is. Yeah. If I ranked something, I'd pick a different team to like what I think is going to happen. Does that make sense? like what I think is going to happen is not necessarily based off like some of that is hunches or like personal beliefs, you know, rather than just actually what I see. And of course, it's super hard to be objective in that sense, isn't it? So, my fourth and fifth, they're going to come across the line together. So I won't say which way around, but obviously it's Charlie and George Wheeler for me. Made a team, fantastic run at Cardiff.
My thing was, it too good of a run at Cardiff? Was that their best run? You know, have they got another gear? And also, like, it was a good run, but you know, you think it can be bumped down the field. People like, right, there's people just as good as them, I think, who didn't run Cardiff. You know, people like Leonard Kingston, Callum Johnson, like these people may have been next to him at Cardiff, but I guess the Wheelers looked like they had.
Oh, for sure, 100%. But I think it's when you look at how they kind of like the distance they put on Mark, distance they put on Stonia, for example. These are high caliber athletes who've done it before, you know. So obviously Stonia in the under 23s previously, but I think the caliber of athlete they did beat at Cardiff was super impressive, and I just think it's their first sort of full kind of season like back in the UK after some American experiences. And I think for them, like, they're not going to be particularly Charlie, like, being at Wisconsin, and I spoke to him after Cardiff, he went off hard and ran almost like I think he said himself he ran like a bit of an idiot, like he went off a bit hard, but compared to that kind of American racing, like that pace is slow, you know. So obviously the terrain is different, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying it's completely comparable. But I think definitely they'll be there or thereabouts, you know. But yeah.
I think as well, just a quick one on the terrain. Cardiff was really sticky because it rained a lot the week of the race, and then the day of the race it was very sunny, and it just meant kind of sucked the moisture out of the ground, but it just got really sticky. I think Liverpool might be similar. I don't know about you, but the weather looks relatively sunny, sort of mid to end of the week, and we may have a bit of drizzle on Saturday. But it's obviously quite boggy at the moment, apparently, reports have been saying. But I think if the sun dries it out at all, it's going to be quite sticky, and it's going to be slow mud as opposed to like that slippy mud you can kind of your 12 mils, 15 mil spikes take. So I think there will be a few surprises. And if it is like that again, you maybe would count the Wheelers in.
I think so. I think it's definitely for those two, it's very weather dependent. I think if it is kind of somewhat dry, if we have somewhat firm ground, I think they'll be absolutely fine. I think that they might struggle if it's a bit boggy.
So that's pretty much it. You got your wild cards, you got your Jack Grays, your Callum Elsons, your Ellis. I mean, Ellis Cross for me is a big dark horse. He actually made that Euro team last year. What was he, first reserve? Mark Scott pulls out, so he went to Euros. You know, people like that, I think Ellis Cross could have a great shout. And obviously, once they split under 23s and seniors, you know, there's 12 men who are going to be on that plane. And, you know, definitely Stonia, Barnico, those boys are making an under 23 team, no questions. Yeah. I think Rory Leonard is still...
Rory Leonard's under 23, yeah. I'll actually add him as sixth if we're going on. I think we would potentially actually...
So, you know, yeah, that's a no. You know, no brainer there for him to make that team. So it will be a fascinating race. I think, you know, someone like Angus McMillan as well, he obviously ran very well. But again, there's just such high competition. It's going to be so close. It's going to be a classic Liverpool. I wonder if anyone is going to be a runaway victor. Do you think? I think because of the mud, someone will pull away. It's always the case.
I think mentally, someone... I don't know. Yeah, I think between Jack Rowe and Zach Mohammed, I think once one of them realizes actually this is going to become like a proper battle now, I could see one of them then just racing the rest a bit. But I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
I've obviously said Jack Rowe is going to win, and to be fair, I could see Jack Rowe kind of having a big last lap, and look, he's not a guy who wants to leave it down to a sprint finish, is he? So.
No, although yeah, sprint finishes on the cross are a different ball game. But let's quickly wrap up. Yeah, selection policy. Maybe it's always been first four. I can't remember, but it's four past the post will go, and then there's two discretionary spots. As we understand it currently, which isn't great. at all. I always thought there was one discretionary spot.
Well, I think it's always been two, mate.
Been two for the seniors, maybe, but yeah. It's not too much difficulty picking that team because basically, if you're not a Liverpool, you're probably not interested in Europeans. Because if you're doing Europeans, you want a good hard race in beforehand, and hence why you do Liverpool. So,
yeah, the only one is normally the under-23s, but there's been no one out. Well, to be fair, it's been interesting, mate. I don't know if it's just our age, but I've just fallen out of love with the NCAA a bit. But I think it's just because I feel so much older than the athletes competing that it's less relevant now.
Yeah, I think it might be our age a little bit, but it does feel like, I mean, I actually watched the NCAAs. It was a terrific race. I watched it on YouTube with a little black box on my screen. They're not allowed to stream. I actually couldn't find another suitable stream that I could watch. But yeah, I've watched it back now properly, and it was a great race. Graham Blanks at Harvard, phenomenal run. Looked like a great course. Crowd were insane, as always. Like, NCAA just doesn't disappoint. But yeah, I do feel like there's not as many Brits who go out there now.
I think is also reflective of our, like, the way our UK university systems are improving in there
massively
through to the hubs, etc. Is brilliant for athletics in this country. So not complaining at all.
I think as well, you got people like Stonia at Loughborough right now.
Yeah.
One of the best. And I think a lot of people see that. And, you know, he's in and around Loughborough. And it was a bit like the St. Mary's effect as well. You know, they had world-class talent there at one point and everyone wanted to go there. So I think we are seeing that. It doesn't seem like many people are going to America or certainly featuring in that NCAAs. I'm sure that will change. Goes in waves, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll quickly do these mile races and then get to the women's race. Again, they're going to go one.
So this is where there's been a change. So the mile races, it previously was top two, you go. Well, it definitely was originally. I don't know about last year. But this year, it is now first one is auto. Second space is discretionary. I'd imagine they will take second. But even just the fact that that's how they do it, it just pisses me off, to be honest, mate. Like, it's just everything that we disagree with trials races. Like, it's just nuts. Like, you got a team of two, just take the people that actually make the effort to turn up and do well, because what is the point? You know, what's the point in having a trial if you just want to pick whoever anyway? You're having a trial to pick one person.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, are they going to pick someone like Laura Muir? Maybe.
And make her run a trial, you know?
Like, yeah, you're gonna pick someone like that. So I think it's just, so you know, we've got some super talent. I think, to be fair, we have got some crazy talent on the 1500 side, both men and women. And I think if one of those 1500 runners expressed their interest to do it, I think they'd be hard to turn down, wouldn't they? But I agree with you. I do think that, you know, they should just make them run the trial.
Because at the same time, mate, you say, oh, we got this crazy talent, but they're that crazy talented, right? They should be able to jog around there and win.
You'd think so.
Well, if they are, and if they're not, they're clearly not talented at 1 mile cross country, which is what the event is itself.
Mm.
No point being able to run a 3:29 if you can't actually win the Liverpool cross trial.
Yeah, I do think that running on cross is, the stronger person. So the person who would finish highest in the 10K course on the men's side at Liverpool, I think would finish highest in the mile. I wouldn't mind betting if they did a flat out mile around Liverpool with that senior men's long course. I think Zach Mohammed or Jack Rose still wins.
No, Stonia wins. Hands down, Stonia wins. Stonia beats anyone in this country in that race if he does it.
Maybe.
No, he does.
He is good on the mud.
Only other person, maybe, right? And I'm going to, is Jake Hayward.
No way.
Looking at his back when he used to do Liverpool before he moved away from this country and started training in the US. JK would used to be able to, like, dominate Cardiff Cross Challenge for his age group, right? Like, and obviously his 1500 caliber, like, yeah.
Interesting. It would make an interesting race. That's why they should bring back the Saturday short course. Sunday long course, hey?
But what we were saying off air, though, as well, is that, like, take the men's, for example, like, you've got the likes of Stoney or Callum Elson, like, put in the discretionary spot, they almost got a free hit at the long course, because you'd think, right, if they don't make a team, like, if somehow Stoney doesn't make an under 23 team, he's then just straight into the discretionary spot in the mile. Which, as I'm, to be fair, I've just said, I think he beats anyone over that distance, but still not really fair, you know? And the same, like, Callum Elson's going to race the long course. A lot of people were saying to you on your predictions that actually, why have you not considered him? But then, you'd think if he doesn't make the team, then he just gets in that discretionary spot as well. I don't know. I haven't actually seen a start list for these mile races, so I don't know who they're actually up against, but...
Nor have I. So obviously we know it's invite only, and I think they do release it at some point. Maybe we're just being a bit...
Not about the miles, though, is it? Let's be honest, like, it's all about...
It's not about the miles. That mile race is, you know, and they have it at 10 in the morning. It's almost like a separate, you know, it's a bit of a warm-up.
That's what we said previously, haven't we? I don't know why they don't have the miles, then the senior women, then the senior men.
Like at Cardiff.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, they're worried about...
Then you have less lapping as well, actually, for the... Because there is, I'm pretty sure... Is there some sort of crossover between the senior women's and the senior men's?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, something like that. I think that some of the senior
women's
some
issues
when the men are going. Yeah, that's the point. There is some crazy lapping at Liverpool that obviously played its part in Cardiff as well. But I think they're worried about course cutting up. But if I remember rightly as well, they don't hold the mile. The mile isn't the first race at Europeans. They start with the under 20s, and then I think they go to the mile, then do a couple under 23 races, and then seniors. So
yeah, I'm also not being funny. I'm pretty sure you could just make a different mile loop that doesn't go over the course at all if you wanted to.
Good point. Yeah.
But this way, hey, it's hard job being a race organizer. That's why we don't do it. So it's...
Yes. But however, that being said, Welsh Athletics did a phenomenal job at the Cardiff Cross Challenge. British Athletics, obviously, it was their cross challenge event, but didn't put any money into it. It was all Welsh Athletics who put that event on. They did a phenomenal job. So we got shout out them. It cost them a lot of money to do that. They obviously don't make any money because they're getting an entry fee from all the athletes doing cross challenge and whatnot. So, but they have driven that event to something I think quite special. And if you were at Cardiff that day, I think you enjoyed it, and a lot of people did. So, but yeah, so the miles are quite hard to talk about. There's quite a few people who it's like, oh, maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. So I suppose that is quite, you know, but Tom Dodd, who won the Cardiff mile, looked phenomenal. And I think it is people like that we've seen in previous years, you know, Hennigan last year, Elson's made a team. It's people like that who...
Hennigan's doing the mile again, I think.
Oh, he's doing the mile again, is he? So yeah, I think it's people like that who are going to run really well.
That's what it's brilliant for. That is what a mile event is for me. It's like, look, if you're the best 1500 runner in the UK and you actually want to do it, yeah, fine, but go do the trial. And if you're not, it's an opportunity to make a team and actually prove on the day you can be better than Charlie Grice, for example, last year, who missed out, who you probably would have said, yeah, there's someone who made the team, you know.
Yeah, that almost ended his career. I think much has.
Should we enter the women's then? Because I think the women's I found it easier to do my predictions for the women's. I think it's a bit more
black and white.
Well, I don't know. There's always a twist in there, but I think it's slightly more straightforward. Obviously. Brilliant performance from Megan Keefe in Cardiff, and she's still under 23 as well, so she is someone that could potentially take that title and then go and compete in the under 23s at Europeans too, which is brilliant, I guess, for her development too. But Matt, do you want to talk through yours first?
Sure. Didn't get so much hate for these, and I think that is, you know, that does just show that the women's race is perhaps a little more bit more, yeah, I guess, easier to call. I think athletes have shown, Megan Keith, yeah, she wins it hands down, in my opinion. Jess Judd will put up a very good fight. I could see a situation where them two are battling it out together. I say,
yeah, mate, I think Jess Judd wins, to be honest.
Yeah, that was actually dramatic of me to say she wins hands
down. People are Jess Judd. I'm like, you know, Cardiff is like 6K as well.
Cardiff is stupidly short. Yeah, it is
compared
short.
To 8K.
Yeah,
I don't know why they do that for the women's. It's ridiculous. Like, just give them the proper distance in the first place, because that's what they want. Liverpool.
It is, yeah, Cardiff is 4 miles compared to five. So it's a longer race. But yeah, I think Keith and Judd are run away from the field here, and they're kind of neck and neck, battling each other out. And then I just put Donnelly, Quirk, and Axford for 3, 4, and 5. Donnelly, obviously, phenomenal athlete, ran fantastically at Euros last year. Was she top 12? Maybe 12.
Yeah, and she's made it team numerous times.
Yeah, she has. And Quirk again. Established runner on the country, and Kate Axford, I guess, bit of a newcomer. She's a little bit, you don't agree with that shout. You think Izzy Fry or someone like that will make the team. I guess not make the team. This is just our top five. So Axford will probably make that top six, but.
Yeah, I've gone for Jess Judd, then Megan Keith. Then I've gone Jess Gibbon third. She had a good run at Cardiff, and she is someone that when it's like, a bit muddy. I know we said it might potentially be dry, but she's consistently sort of like there or thereabouts, like in tough races. And I think she definitely suits that longer race, the 8K. And then I go Quirk for fourth, and then Izzy Fry fifth. Top five. I think Kate Axe is someone that I think will run the mile. I'll be. Did we hear she might be running the mile?
I think there's been rumors. Yeah, I think there's been rumors. I think she, when athletes have the choice of making the team in the mile or the long course, they go for the long course.
Oh, for sure.
You have the choice. So I think she actually will back herself and she will do the long course. I think she'll back herself to make that team. I think when athletes look at it and go, well, there's no way I'm going to make the team in the long course. There's an opportunity there in the short course, in the mile, I'll do that. Yeah. And I think that is why the mile isn't quite as hyped, because over the cross country, they are slightly, worse athletes. Nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For
not
sure.
Upsetting anyone. Yeah.
No. I think that's
over a 10K cross, they're not going to compete. Hence why they do the mile. That's obvious, right? So I think she backs herself to make the team over the full distance. She likes cross country, and I think she's going to do a full cross country season as well. So I can't see any reason why she'd do the mile. She's probably going to try and do the 5K outdoors as well. So why would you kind of like get distracted and do the relay, to be honest? So that women's race, I think, a little bit easier to call. A couple outsiders that we should probably potentially mention as well in that race to look out for. You obviously mentioned Gibbon, Alex Millard, Neve Britton-Hubbard's doing it. She was, third at National Cross. Sarah Astin won National Cross. I don't think she's in as good a shape as when she won that race, but you can never count her out. Markov.
For me, the difference between the National and Liverpool is just, it's chalk and cheese, mate. To be honest, and that's not my issue with the with like some of the other picks that you had, like on the men's side, perhaps, because I'm not discrediting the athletes, but I just think like the difference you get at the top end of Liverpool versus the top end of National Cross is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the top 10 at the National are kind of people who would finish 10th to 20th at Liverpool,
20th to 30th, mate.
Nah.
15th.
Yeah, maybe around the team.
Liverpool, mate. Around the team. Liverpool, mate. Every year, right? There's three people, right? They're going to make the team. There's probably then like another
10
who could make the team. And there's about 30 guys who think they're going to make the team every year.
In total, yeah.
In addition to that, outside of that. Outside
well, no, and that is why we love. I think that is why
it's
we love
brilliant, man. It's
just,
brilliant.
You never know what's going to happen. Yeah,
yeah. But and it means you see people like run like absolute idiots as well, which is great because it.
Yeah.
Because one day, like I say, running like an idiot, like running like out of their skin, like too fast for what they've done before. But one day it's going to work. Like, that's what I love about it. You have to do that. You can't just then, you can't sit there and say, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to go with it, because then you won't make the team.
So what I love as well, what I love as well is, like, you can, you know, whenever we've been there, you look at people and they are like friends, family, whatever, training partners. They are screaming at someone who might be in eighth place, because there is a prize, you know. And I think, National Cross is a fantastic event, but when you're finishing sort of eighth, like, you are racing for the positions above, but it's not quite as meaningful as Liverpool. And I think having those vests when you cross the line, and, you know, you could technically, it's the first 12, isn't it? Because it's under 23s and seniors. And so there's, you know, the top 12 athletes are just absolutely, you know, they're getting screamed at by friends and family and teammates, and they know what it means in every position. They're like, oh, I'm one step closer to a GB vest. This
for
is
most
incredible.
Of them as well, it's their first vest. That's the thing with Liverpool.
Well,
not most of them, but for a lot of
people. Those ones on the cusp.
For a lot of people, they're trying to get their first vest, and I think that means even more. So
that's crazy. The hype is just fantastic. Talking of the hype, man, you're going to be there with Sports Shoes. You're going to be taking over Sports Shoes Races account. You're going to be lots of content on the Sunday podcast, so look out today. I don't think there's any rumour. So disappointing. Try to reach out to the organisers to say, is there going to be a stream? There's not. And it's just like, come on now. Like, how many years in a row has there not been a stream at this event? And it's probably the one event of the year people are gagging for a stream.
Well, it was last year, wasn't there? There's been a stream in recent years. Either last year or the year before, there was a stream last year, mate. And now there isn't then.
Well, there might be. I just, from the sources I've tried to get in touch with, I haven't heard of a stream yet.
Definitely last year, mate. I remember watching it back, because I was there last year as well. But I remember watching the races back, because I was so busy trying to sort out content that I kind of felt like I missed.
Yeah, that you hadn't watched it. Yeah, this is what happens when we're trying to get videos and interviews. You do end up forgetting what actually happens in the race. But anyway, keep an eye on our Instagram, our channels, and Sports Shoes Races as well, because I think we're gonna get as much content as possible. So at least kind of get plenty of stories and reels of the race unfolding and interviews as well. So that should be good. And on top of that, should be dropping at some point this week YouTube video with Scott Beattie and Rory Leonard, how those Hoka boys train, life under Andy Hobdell. I went up there to York, met up with them for a coffee and a run, and just a good chat as well. So should be a really fascinating YouTube for you guys to enjoy. And I think they are two people who we haven't mentioned that much. We're keeping the pressure off them, but they seem really hungry to make that team, and that Hoka group. Ellis Cross is involved in it. He's running much, much better now as well. And I think we're going to see some big, big things. Talking to, you know, Chris Rainsford, who kind of founded that group, along with Hobdell and stuff. So exciting process.
Exciting stuff to get you kind of ready for Liverpool. Look, I've managed to have my say now on who I think is going to make the team. So I'm feel free to. So now
this is why we love running and sport in general, because we all just talk about our opinions.
Yep, and no one will be right at the end of the day. There'll be someone who we've literally not mentioned, one in the men's, one in the women's, and they'll make the team. They'll get a sixth spot, and that'll be brilliant. That's the best thing about it is that no one's talking about them. But inside, they're probably thinking to themselves, "Yeah, I've got a chance to make our team," and that's what it's all about, isn't it? So,
Oh, yeah. All right, Lum. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. And we will probably check in with you. We will review Liverpool Cross in a few days' time once the big dance is done and dusted. So see you then.